As the day wraps up, she's just getting revved up. Steph Lucas on KID News Radio 106.3 and 92.1.
Welcome back to the Steph Lucas Show. Okay, I'm ready. I told you guys, it's a surprise. You heard of CPAC? Obviously, they're run by the American Conservative Union Foundation, and their purpose is to educate voters, office holders, and opinion leaders as to why conservative principles work better to solve the myriad of complex and dynamic problems facing Americans today. No, I didn't write that myself. That was written by the Center for Legislative Accountability at CPAC by Fred McGrath. He's their director. And so we've been covering a lot about groups in Idaho that have a vested interest and will rate legislators and scorecards. Well, a lot of this scorecard mentality or tactics, and tactics sounds bad. I'm not saying tactics in a bad way. I'm just saying the history of scorecards really goes back to the American Conservative Union Foundation and another group that Fred mentions. The Democrats started one way back in the 40s. Anyway, it's been very effective. Of course, the American Conservative Union Foundation has been around since 1973, I believe. And so they rate legislators on a national level, and then they rate them at a state level, like your state legislators and senators, rated by the American Conservative Union Foundation. And they just had a meeting in Texas, the big CPAC to-do. Of course, they have all kinds of pundits, intellectuals, issue activists together. And of course, this guy right here, here's the latest. Where's my Donald Trump clip? There we go.
The former president began by criticizing the Biden policy of decreased border enforcement, but then recounted that while he was impeached, never once were Democrats held accountable for claims later shown to be not true.
I'm very disappointed that Bill Barr was unable to hold anyone accountable for the countless abuses of power by the Democrats.
Namely, the Russian collusion complaints and the phone call with the Ukrainian president that led to his first impeachment. Trump made no statement saying he was running for the White House again, though he urged electing conservatives to Congress in the midterms. At CPAC in Dallas, Eben Brown, Fox News.
So, of course, Donald Trump at CPAC in Dallas, and that's a report from Fox News, Eben Brown. So in case you didn't notice, CPAC is a big deal, and they're kind of the gold standard, as I've had many guests say on my show, as far as grading, scoring legislators. So how does that all work? Well, got an opportunity to speak with Fred McGrath today, the director, Center for Legislative Accountability. That means the guys who score legislators at the American Conservative Union Foundation. I was talking to Fred, asking him how long he's done this. Here we go.
Yeah, so I've been with ACU on the ratings team for just over 7 years now.
Okay. So I have so many questions. You kind of answered when you guys started the scoring. It's been going on for almost 50 years, right?
Yes. So 1971, mm-hmm. We were, our ACU was founded in 1964 by mm-hmm. William F. Buckley, and we created the scorecard in 71 to try to hold lawmakers accountable to conservative principles. And we've really had a great run, have had a lot of respect and recognition. And that's why in 2011, we started off trying to get active in the state.
Mm-hmm.
So we started off with a pilot program
mm-hmm.
where we scored five states. Basically, the same kind of criteria we use for
okay.
our congressional rating, which is trying to pull bills that best reflect how an elected official views government.
Gotcha.
And basically what we do is we apply our view of what is conservatism. So we believe
mm-hmm.
conservatism is the political philosophy that sovereignty resides in the person.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, our left counterparts are going to be more focused on the collective,
right.
society as whole.
Right.
We're looking at the individual impact.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go and once we have our philosophy, we ask ourselves, well, what is the proper role of government? And we believe it is to protect life, liberty, and property.
And to protect the individual as opposed to
what's good for the collector. That,
gotcha.
Exactly.
Okay, so was your organization the first group to ever start a scoring system or report card?
Yeah, that, great question. So actually, the left was the first to really start a scorecard. Americans for Democratic Action started one in, I want to say it's like the mid-40s. And, of course, we came along as the first conservative organization. We were acting as more the counterpoint to the ADA and went and produced a, you know, the first conservative scorecard there in 71.
All right. So what do you think makes you guys the litmus test for conservative values and conservative scorecards? Is it just because you've been around the longest? Is it because your questions are effective?
Yeah, no. I would say what kind of drives us and, and kind of where our unique lane is, we're an organization that looks at all issues that are important to conservatives. So we like to look at the three legs of the Ronald Reagan stool. So your economic and fiscal, your national security, and then your social and cultural. So some groups, you know, they'll focus on kind of the fiscal side of things, or other groups might look at a particular issue area, such as abortion. We try to go and pull all of those issues that conservatives care about. And right now, we're the, well, the first and only organization to produce scorecards in all 50 states across the full spectrum of conservative issues. So every year, we're looking through just over 105,000 bills. We ultimately shift through those bills that really best reflect how an elected official views government. So we come up with about 3,000 or so bills that we actually sample and write deep, comprehensive descriptions on. And altogether, we tally across all those bills we've selected. We have 8,000 elected officials we're scoring, so it, it comes out a lot of math, but 160,000 votes that we're, and so, we're using.
So obviously you can't score every bill an elected official in each state is doing, but you kind of get like a cross-section of what they're voting for and use that to make a scoring system.
Yes, when we're going through, we're trying to, you know, again, first select the bills that, that best reflect, you know, elected officials, but we're also trying to do a good, solid, broad sampling.
Okay.
So our website, which is ratings.conservative.org, we've broken down all the policy areas that we cover, and we have kind of 19 core policy areas. One of them is Second Amendment. One is taxes and budget, and within those 19, we have a number of different subcategories. So actually, 186 subcategories.
Wow.
So your education. You know, we have everything from school choice down to, you know, pay for teachers to homeschooling. All those issues.
So it's thorough.
And yes, we try to be very thorough.
Gotcha.
Actually, in our system, we have 14,000 bills that we've actually scored written descriptions on and broken down.
Okay. So you score both Republicans and Democrat lawmakers, correct?
Yes, we score, yeah, every single member of Congress, both Republican and Democrat, and every single one of the members in all 50 state legislatures every single year.
All right. Man, I have so many questions here. Let's start with this one. Do Democrats ever criticize your scorecard? I know it's a funny question.
It's always fun. You know, sometimes certain Democrat members are just excited about their ACU ratings as their Republican counterparts. We've had just we released our congressional ratings about a month or two ago, and we had Eric Swalwell tweeting out his score. Ted Lieu, we had 10 or 15 Democrat members of Congress all excited, highlighting their, in most cases, their perfect zeros. So they very much, you know, care as much as, of course, the Republicans who were really, you know, targeting and trying to show who's really fighting for conservative principles. And we had a award reception just off the Capitol a few weeks ago, and we actually at the event got 105 members of Republican members of Congress and presented awards to all those that scored above an 80% on our scorecard.
Okay. Do you ever have lawmakers? I would imagine they're Republican, but do you ever have Republican lawmakers call you, request a change, get upset over their score?
Yeah, we do. You know, we're a lot of times, you know, maybe members, you know, were not aware of the issue being scored or wanting to get more insight of how we, you know, dissected the bill and looked into it. We get that a lot at, you know, the state level, because a lot of these states, they're part-time you know, legislatures, and they don't always have the staff and all to kind of bring them up to speed on the issue. So we actually just built out a new website, so we're trying to go and provide and be a resource for those members that maybe don't know the issues. And have it so they can see, okay, what is the conservative position?
I see. So we have some lobbyist groups in Idaho, and there's kind of a little war going on in the papers and whatnot. People calling certain groups with scorecards like a threat to democracy, that sort of thing. Has your organization ever been accused of being a threat to democracy, buying lawmakers, et cetera, et cetera?
No, again, our scorecards again are designed, you know, to act as a transparency tool.
I see.
And so many states that we score, they don't have really any groups in the states, or their legislatures are just more not transparent with the way they do roll calls.
Right.
So what we do is we come through, we go through all the legislative journals and look at the entire session and then try to show the public in kind of broken down, easy to understand language of what this bill does and why it impacts conservatism.
Okay. I got a couple more questions. One is, how this is obviously a transparency tool, and I would imagine that your organization says it is for people to use to look and see what their legislator is doing. Do larger groups use this, like businesses or lobbyist groups? Do they take a look at this and say, hey, before we donate money to this guy, we want to look at his conservative score?
Yeah, well, we have, you know, the scorecard out. It's, you know, public. We mail a copy of the guide to all the lawmakers in the states. Those lawmakers that score above an 80%, we actually send them an award. So we like to try to, you know, get the ratings out there. And our hope is that activists and just the general public uses them to see, well, how well do they align with their elected officials and do they think the elected official they're voting for kind of supports their values and level of conservatism.
Well, I appreciate you talking to us today. And 50 years, that's a long time. And of course, everybody's heard of you guys. Thanks for just explaining a little bit more behind the process.
Absolutely. Again, really appreciate you having me. And if you, again, want to see any of the ratings or use any of the tools, it's ratings.conservative.org. You can see it all.
What a great guy. That's Fred McGrath. He's the director, Center for Legislative Accountability at CPAC, run by the American Conservative Union Foundation. They provide scorecards for legislators and senators right here in Idaho. So great to talk to him about how that works on our quest to find out more about every group that scores lawmakers in Idaho.
live, loud, local, and apparently lovable.
I can't say enough great things about your show.
Steph Lucas on KID News Radio 106.3 and 92.1.
Welcome back to the Steph Lucas Show. Thanks so much to our special guest. Great to have Representative Kerry Hanks on, as well as Fred McGrath, Director, Center for Legislative Accountability at the American Conservative Union Foundation that runs CPAC. In other words, he's the guy in charge of looking at legislators and senators' scores, looking at the bills, and giving them grades. So really exciting to talk with him. Really quickly, I want to tell you about Built Bars. I got my new package of Built Bars on the way. I'm going to try the grasshopper flavor. No, not actual grasshoppers. You know, like mint, chocolate, brownie, Girl Scout cookie. Am I allowed to say that to compare it? Maybe there's copyright things. Anyway, whatever. It is a mint chocolate, and that is on the way. I'm very excited to try it because Built Bar likes to mix things up. I mean, they have like 9 regular flavors, okay, and they're all terrific, like cookies and cream, chocolate-covered raspberry, and let's see what else. Oh, peanut butter brownie. That's a good one, too. Anyway, they like to mix things up, and occasionally they'll do like a surprise flavor. This time it was grasshopper. So if you go check out their website, builtbar.com, you can see what new flavors they have going on. And one thing does not change with the new flavors. It's still 17 to 18 grams of protein per bar, around 140 calories for most flavors, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of carbs. Oh, and they all taste great. That should seal the deal right there. So go to builtbar.com and use the promo code STEPH10, that's STEPH, the number 10, and then you get 10% off of your first box of Built Bars. Moving on to sports, here's the latest from Matt Napolitano.
Tuesday's game between the Baltimore Orioles and the Tampa Bay Rays will make history as it will mark the first MLB broadcast with an all-female on-air crew. The game will be called by Orioles announcer Melanie Newman, joined by baseball analyst and writer Sarah Langs as an analyst in the booth, and MLB reporter Alana Rizzo handling the on-field reporting. This showdown between the Orioles and the Rays will be the MLB Game of the Week live on YouTube, and is anticipated to also have sportscasters Heidi Watney and Lauren Gardner anchoring the pre- and post-game coverage. Matt Napolitano, Fox News. After being the buzz of the NBA weeks ago, the Dallas Mavericks officially welcomed Jason Kidd on board Thursday as the team's new head coach and Nico Harrison in as their new general manager. Kidd won a title as a player for the Mavs back in 2011, and another title will be his goal.
And I know you guys got a lot of questions, but again, I'm excited to be back here in Dallas. I know we have the best fans in the country, and I can't wait for the opportunity for us to raise another banner here.
Kidd was actually drafted by Dallas second overall back in 1994, going on to win NBA Co-Rookie of the Year. He replaces Rick Carlisle, who left the Mavericks after 13 seasons at the helm. Matt Napolitano, Fox News. Team USA Basketball Thursday confirmed that Bradley Beal will not be with the team for the Tokyo Olympics after being placed in the COVID health and safety protocols Wednesday. This as Jeremy Grant was placed into the protocols Thursday as a precautionary measure. Head men's basketball coach Greg Popovich asked about making adjustments ahead of the start of the Olympics next week.
We're trying to get everybody safely to Tokyo and at the same time prepare a basketball team to be successful.
Players are being tested daily ahead of the Tokyo Games. According to Beal's teammate Bam Adebayo, the Washington Wizards star was not displaying any symptoms of COVID-19. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
That's the latest in sports. Let's move on to entertainment with Fox News' Michelle Polino.
The Scarlett Johansson-fronted Black Widow crossed the $100 million mark at the box office, making it the fastest to do so in a pandemic. The film joins Universal's F9, Paramount's A Quiet Place 2, and Warner Brothers' Godzilla vs. Kong all reach the century milestone. The Disney Marvel film, which also debuted on the streamer, picked up $5.5 million Wednesday. It notched the best domestic opening during the pandemic with $80.3 million. It also posted the best Monday and Tuesday to date since the COVID era began last March with $7.16 million and $7.6 million. Michelle Polino, Fox News. In leaked audio from the Daily Mail, we hear the talk co-host Elaine Welteroth comforting a distressed Sharon Osbourne after she was confronted for her support of Piers Morgan back in March after he criticized Meghan Markle.
You know Cheryl is your friend. She really is your friend. She doesn't think you're racist.
Welteroth was referencing the on-air confrontation between Osbourne and co-host Cheryl Underwood.
Cheryl and I are held to a different standard by Black people and people of color.
Osbourne added,
CBS set me up.
And they don't care because they just went right in.
Osborne was recently replaced on the show by Jerry O'Connell. Michelle Polino, Fox News. Foo Fighters put the brakes on their planned show at the Forum in Inglewood, California, after there was a confirmed case of COVID-19 within the band's organization. On the Foo Fighters Instagram page, the band wrote, "Out of an abundance of caution and concern for the safety of the band, crew, and most of all the fans, Saturday's show at the Los Angeles Forum is being postponed to a later date." The Dave Grohl-fronted band returned to the road June 15th with a show at the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills to a vaccinated audience of 600 before becoming the first band to play Madison Square Garden in New York City at full capacity June 20th. Tickets for Saturday night's show will be honored at a later date. Michelle Polino, Fox News.
That's the latest from Fox News. Michelle Polino, as far as entertainment goes. Thanks so much for joining on the Steph Lucas Show today. Thanks to my special guest, first and foremost, the owner of Rich Broadcasting and KID News Radio, Richard Meekum. He and I were talking about the big deal over on the western half of the state, as we have had three large healthcare providers announce that they are going to require vaccines for all of their employees by September 1st. Of course, this has caused quite a firestorm across the state, as we have Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan asking the Idaho legislature to reconvene and address this. And what are the rights of businesses versus those of employees? Thanks so much as well to Representative Carrie Hanks for coming on and talking about that just a little bit more, giving us her perspective and what she would like to see with an extra legislative session. And then thanks so much, of course, to Fred McGrath from CPAC. Great to have him on. See you back here tomorrow. It's Friday. It's going to be fun, I promise. See you tomorrow.